Yeah, we are.
All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Rant Show. Got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And we are going to be talking about a bunch of stuff. So basically, y'all know about what happened with the guys in the sub. A bunch of rich fucks basically paid $250,000 to buy this sub, which was a piece of shit. It had horrible, horrible reviews on Amazon. All over 1,000 negative reviews on Amazon. And they were like, we're going to go see the Titanic. So they bought this shitty ass $250,000 sub to go under. And it was actually controlled by a PS3 controller. No shit. Like a $30 PS3 controller.
Wow.
Like the ones that I buy for my little retro consoles.
Oh, you're talking about the company and
yes,
all of them died.
Yes. So basically these idiots died because they thought that a $250,000 little sub you get on Amazon was going to be enough to explore the Titanic. Yeah, that was a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And they learned it. They learned that pretty easy on.
That was the last thing they learned.
Yeah, that's the last thing they learned.
This was a bad idea.
Yeah. They said, well, we want to see the Titanic. Well, congratulations. Now you're part of the Titanic. Okay, so there, and things get crazier. The stepson of the billionaire on the missing sub asked Cardi B. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Asked an OnlyFans star to sit on him. Yeah, I think it's Cardi B, but I'm not sure. Let's get the actual story. Your stepdad is lost at sea. California man whose billionaire stepfather is missing on sub asks OnlyFans model to sit on him for 30 minutes. After pleading for prayers, he triggers war of words with Cardi B over Blink-182 concert. Uh-huh. God damn. The stepson of a billionaire who is missing on the Titan sub publicly flirted with an OnlyFans model moments after asking for prayers for his stricken relative. Brian Satz, 36, raised eyebrows after responding to a Twitter post made by a scantily clad OnlyFans girl model named Brea, which was captioned, "Can I sit on you?" I mean, damn. So this guy's a rich simp. Remember when we talk about simps and how, you know, there are a bunch of guys that have all kinds of money and don't really know what to do with it? This is what we call the simps. It's not just old people. I'm corrected. I thought it was a bunch of old guys with money. Apparently, it's also young guys with money. 36 years old, and he's asking this woman, "Can I sit on you?" Clearly impressed by the curvaceous sex worker, an excited Zaz replied, "Yes, please," adding a face with love heart emojis for good measure. The online flirtation comes as San Diego-based Zaz found himself embroiled in a furious war of words with rapper Cardi B over his decision to attend a Blink-182 concert in the wake of his stepdad's disappearance. And those tickets are extremely high, by the way.
Probably why.
Billionaire Harding, 58, CEO of Action Aviation in Dubai, and Shahzada Daywood, 48, UK-based board member of the Prince's Trust Charity, plus his son Solomon Dawood, 19, are all on board. And there's Brea.
I want to ask her if you're not doing it,
right.
Come on over and sit on this.
Right. He quote tweeted an image only. Okay, and of course. Oh, no. Okay, so the woman. I'm sorry, guys. The woman asked, "Can I sit on you?" And he replied, as most simps do, "Yes, please."
I hate to tell you, that's not just simps.
No, but
it's
not for real. It's not for real.
Well,
it's not for real. They do that just to get attention. Guys like, "Oh, I love you so much. Can I sit on you? Yes, please. You can sit on me." You know, stuff like that. I'm using the foreigner voice, but yeah, I'm using that. But basically, that's exactly what we're getting. Except this guy's an American's like, "Yes, please. Yes, you can sit on me. My father's a billionaire, and I got to see Blink-182 and." Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I'm sure he says, "I'm a billionaire."
He's not a billionaire.
Well,
his father is a billionaire.
I'm sure.
OceanGate CEO Stockton Rush is on board the vessel, which vanished on Sunday, along with French Navy veteran P.H. Nargolet, who is considered the world's leading expert on the Titanic. Well, not anymore. Zaz initially asked his followers to continue to think of his family on Wednesday morning, writing, "Please keep my family in your prayers." but he's quickly mocked online for making the pass at the OnlyFans star. And this brother, he needs a medal. Let's give him a medal. He said, Lamal, quote, tweeting a thirst trap while your stepdad is lost at sea on wild is wild business. True.
I mean,
it's true.
How much pity can you feel for the guy who was probably had no experience with subs?
He's talking. Okay, what dude's saying is, you're tweeting a fucking thirst trap. You know what a thirst trap is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she's doing. She's thirst trapping. Can I sit on you? I like Pokemon. Look at my titties. Are they big enough? Look, I see this shit all the time on Twitter because of the fucking OnlyFans bots. So, yeah, I see it constantly. You're not supposed to reply to it because it's a bunch of bullshit. The woman doesn't fucking care about you. It's just money. All you are is a wallet, gentlemen. Don't be stupid.
Well, and all they are is a hoe.
Yeah, a hoe. And by the way, you're not even getting a real person. You're going to get pictures and shit. I'll tell you more later. Basically, another added, this guy loves Blink-182 and having ladies sit on his face, and he's not afraid to let the world know. Zaz then went on to like a post which said, no one can judge the way you deal with this trauma after Cardi B made a video calling him out for attending a concert. The rapper insists the stepson should be at home crying and waiting for updates on his stepfather's whereabouts instead of shaking dicks at a concert? Huh.
I've never shook
dicks. That's what Cardi B... I don't know. Maybe she... In a Facebook post, he initially said that his family would want him to be there, sharing a snap from the San Diego show. He captioned it, it might be distasteful being here, but my family would want me to be at the Blink-182 show, it's my favorite band, and music helps me in difficult times.
I like how...
And now he's saying, what a POS trashy celeb. Cardi B trying to get clout off me, and my family suffering. Wow, to be that rich! Cardi B spoke with the president, whatever you want to say about him, that's pretty crazy. I went to Blink-182 concert for coping rather than sitting at home and watching the news. Shame on you, Cardi. Get some class.
Yeah.
Cardi B, we know all your latest releases are trash, but is your career this desperate for attention now? Damn. I mean,
some would say you shouldn't force the song Wet Ass Pussy on kids.
Yeah.
Have them copying it on YouTube and TikTok.
Cardi, using a filter many comments found hilarious, told her followers, one of the billionaires, their stepson, is at a concert, right? At a Blink-182 concert. And people are like, oh, what is he supposed to do? Be sad at the house? Is he supposed to go look for him himself? Yes.
I mean...
supposed to be... Yeah, sure! So he's gonna be down there...
Oh, I'll use this... What? This aeronautics degree I didn't think would hold water? Oh, I guess I'll go out to sea and see if I can't... holler, see what happens. No.
You are supposed to be at the house sad. Be crying for me. You're supposed to be right next to the phone, waiting to hear any updates about me. Isn't that sad that you are a whole fucking billionaire and nobody gives a fuck about you? Like, you missing and motherfuckers are ready to shake... She keeps saying dicks at concerts. I don't know. It's D star star S. I don't know. I might be saying it wrong.
Human.
That's crazy. I'd rather be broke and poor than, like, knowing I'm loved. After deleting several posts because of the backlash, including his Blink-182 photo, Zaz began a war of words with the rapper. And then, of course, he said what I said there. What a POS trashy celeb. He said, Hamish, my stepdad is lost in a submarine. Thoughts and prayers that the rescue mission will be successful.
That's like Mao telling Stalin and Hitler they're trash.
Yeah.
Like, you're all trash. Don't worry. There's trash for everybody. If I can... When I think about her, first thing that pops into my head is STDs.
Right.
Like, she has no room to be talking.
Cardi B is the last person that should judge anybody else. Stay in your lane, Miss B.
Now, if Jesus came down, that'd be another masterpiece. Wow. He says, you billionaire trash. You know what I did for your sins, you son of a... Now that, I'd be like, yeah, Jesus is right.
Okay, so, y'all know about the situation with, basically, the Zion Williamson sex tapes. Basically, Stephen A. Smith has slammed the porn star Mariah Mills for threatening to publish Zion Williamson sex tapes and saying the Pelicans should trade him. Is the Pope in New Orleans? Stephen A. Smith has waded in on the scandal involving New Orleans Pelicans star Zion Williamson and porn star Mariah Wills, who has threatened to leak sex tapes of the two. Mills had her Twitter and Instagram accounts suspended on Tuesday after the threats, which drew a line in her 2 weeks' worth of relentless tweeting about Williamson since he announced he is expecting a baby with his current girlfriend. Speaking on the Stephen A. Smith show, the analyst appeared to be most stunned at Mills saying that New Orleans Pelicans should trade Williamson as a result of his alleged off-court actions. Why would he not deserve to be in New Orleans? Do we have a bunch of monks running around in New Orleans? Is the Pope residing there and somebody forgot to tell us, Smith said? Why would that be a reason to trade Zion Williamson? Mariah Mills, what is wrong with you? Respectfully, seriously, what is wrong with you?
Saw, or what he thought. He probably thought, oh, I'm getting laid, it's nice. She's like, oh, I'm going to be with him for now.
And then found out he had that. Why would you publicizing stuff like that? Why are you publicizing his business like that? Your business like that? Although maybe I can't get on
well,
you
she's
for
a porn star, yeah. So that's every day.
Although maybe I can't get on you for that because it's part of what you say you do. I'm not judging. I'm just saying it's part of what you say you do, but he doesn't. He plays basketball for a living. He hooked up with you in private, allegedly, supposedly, and because he is with someone else, you're going to go through all this? No wonder Twitter banned her. It's been 2 long weeks for the New Orleans Pelicans star since Mills 32 started calling him out on Twitter. He and his girlfriend announced that they're expecting a baby together on June 6th, and the following day, Mills came to life on social media. Better pray I'm not pregnant too, because I'm definitely late, Zion Williamson, Mills tweeted, sparking what has become a story that just won't go away for the NBA star. She claimed she has been involved with Williamson since 2021 and referred to his girlfriend Akima as a low-budget porn star. The spat took a sinister twist the next day, when Mills said culpability lies with Williamson if she is endangered, after alleging she has been threatened by a relative of his girlfriend, Akima. Hold on just a second, guys. Sounds like some bitch shit, though, folks. Yeah, it sounds like some fucking hood rat shit, really. Even though no one here is a hood rat, they bring the hood rat mentality. It's ridiculous, man. It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. So, I'm being harassed now at Zion Williamson, she said. I don't threaten anyone if anything happens to me in Atlanta before December. This is getting out of hand. You need to call your people. Zion thinks I'm done. The early stages of the row caused her name to gain some traction, though. Searches of Mariah Mills on Pornhub rose by 2,293% in the wake of the scandal. Williamson, 22, has not responded directly to Mills, but did appear to be in damage control mode in the days after Mills made her claims. Pelicans star donated $250,000 to a public school system in Louisiana. The Zion Williamson Foundation donated the huge sum to students enrolled in Jefferson Parish schools in the outskirts of New Orleans as part of their summer bridge program, according to ESPN. And, yeah, Mariah Mills, she's literally just a fucking ratchet-ass German Shepherd with a shitload of plastic surgery. She's got a giant BBL ass, giant fake tits, and the whole face is plastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I got no problem with that bimbo look, but, yeah.
In that situation, it would be the... I don't know why.
I got no problem with the bimbo look. I mean, I do her, but I'm just being honest. She's ratchet under all that. She's completely fucking ratchet under all that.
Well, that's true.
And look at how she fucking spells. Look at how she talks. I don't like didn't threaten anyone. If anything.
No comment on why that is, but I know exactly.
Yeah.
It might stir some ruckus.
No, it's true. These folks, these hood-ass fucking bitches don't know how to talk right. And that's a problem. You're literally butchering the English language. And I'm even going to bring up The Lexicographer's Dilemma, which is a great book about how we've never really had a standard in English. But we've never had it that broken to pieces. We've had it broken to pieces so much that it's not even making sense anymore.
Does she sound like a caricature of a stereotype?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, she says straight up, she says, hope you leg. This is how she talks. Listen. Hope you leg heals before the season. You're going to lose everything except for what you did to me. Justice. You're going to lose everything and fail. You'll never come back for this. It's over for you. You will lose all your endorsements if the sex tapes drop. You about to be traded and rank be lowered and replaced by Trey on Pelicans. It's over for you. Fat bus. No one betrays me. NBA, he a bus. Trade him now. NBA, I have sex tapes of me, Enzi, and Williamson, and he also has to turn on his trap phone. Trade him now, so he doesn't deserve to be in New Orleans. Sex tapes dropping soon. Enough is enough. Gonna post everything. This is the last time you betray me. It's literally the way she fucking talks.
Well, we see her on Dateline NBC. We know how that story ended.
Yep.
He might have had a kill bitch.
Yeah.
But that just what you
hockey mask time is what we call that, by the way. Okay, so the adult championships. I think we need to go way back. Yep, yeah, let's start from the beginning on that. All right. Let's see. Where did I go? Okay, yep, right here. About right. Let's see. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, because we talked about that. All right, let's start with what we have. Hulk Hogan explains what's changed about the pro wrestling business since his days. Hulk Hogan was a guest on the Full Send podcast where he discussed various aspects of pro wrestling today and how the pro wrestling industry and how it compares to his days as the top star in both WWF and WCW. As is often the case with wrestlers from Hogan's generation, the Hulkster remarked on just how different the average wrestler looks in terms of size and athleticism.
Yeah.
Hogan's in-ring career lasted from 77 to 2012 and resulted in 12 world championship reigns, 2 Hall of Fame inductions, and the record for most WrestleMania main events. It wasn't the WWE, it was the wrestling business, he said. It was when I got in, man, when I walked in a dressing room, there were like 6 guys sitting there. They're all 300 pounders. I was a medium-sized guy and I weighed 300 plus. When I got in, if you wanted to be a wrestler, okay. There's a guy there. He's got 2 big cauliflower ears. His nose is broken. His teeth are knocked out. He's got 4 kids at home. The next guy over here was an NCAA champion. He's got a steel plate in his forearm. His name's Harley Race. Good luck with him. Then the other 2 guys, they look like serial killers. And if you want to be a wrestler, you got to take their job and take the food out of their family's mouth. That's the difference. Every day I wrestled, everybody I wrestled looked like monster-sized men. Now there's a lot of guys that look like wrestlers, there's a lot of guys that don't, he continued. A lot of guys who look like wrestlers, and a lot of guys who look like they should be bagging my groceries. So the difference is how athletic these guys are. Smaller guys can do all kinds of crazy stuff. They do so much stuff, so much impressive stuff in one match. I wouldn't do that much in a year. What does it mean? He also echoed a sentiment that's often used as a criticism of WWE's presentation in that the company is often positioned as a main attraction rather than the wrestlers themselves. I think the main thing with the product is that it had an attraction, like Hulk Hogan, who you could put on with this guy or that guy or him or you or one man gang or that guy or just sell out anything. Instead of having that one attraction like a Hulk Hogan or a Rock or Andre the Giant or Stone Cold. Instead of having that one guy that's really the attraction, I think the star now is the production of the show. I think he's right. It's not like it used to be. You've watched modern wrestling.
It's not exciting.
It's not exciting like it used to be.
It's not like, oh shit, so-and-so's wrestling tonight. It's like, yeah. Oh, well, they're gone. It'd not be interesting. Or it's, oh, damn, those girls, I'd love to see their ass.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of an ass, New York Post. I got a BBL from an infamous doctor. I woke up looking like Shrek. That'll do, doctor. That'll do. A woman in Sydney, Australia is regretting her Brazilian butt lift after she woke up looking like Shrek with a huge ass she claimed she didn't ask for. What do you mean?
I'm a new guy.
Tori DeJong went viral on TikTok sharing her cosmetic surgery horror story that led her to join a class action lawsuit against her infamous doctor. DeJong first posted a TikTok video mentioning her botched BBL, jokingly using the audio clip. Fabulous, what a waste of time, as she pretended to hang up the phone. Me trying to convince my mom getting a BBL was a smart idea, and her reply was, I told you so, and correct advice, so now I'm stuck with a huge ass I don't want anymore, she wrote over the video. Learn from me, a BBL is not the quick fix to feeling confident, DeJong warned in her caption. I actually never wanted a huge ass, just slightly bigger, and woke up looking like Shrek. In the comments, the mom influencer explained that she received the procedure 3 years ago and is part of a class action lawsuit against her surgeon, Dr. Daniel Lanzer, for several years now. I don't know. I think her ass looks pretty great, but yeah.
What?
The influencer went to have liposuction on her legs and left with a huge ass she didn't ask for. He ruined my legs, which is what she originally claimed. She originally saw the doctor to work on, she claimed. Now I look stupid. In a follow-up video, DeJong said that she allegedly made an appointment with Lanzer to remove fat from her legs because she was always insecure about how big she thought they were. Oh, during the consultation, she claimed that the doctor suggested that DeJong use the fat from her legs to plump her buttocks to give her a small bum like a Sports Illustrated look. But after waking up from the dangerous surgery, she's mortified that her bum had grown dramatically. It's not just for me. I never asked for 750 milliliters into each butt cheek, DeJong said, claiming that the procedure made her feel bigger when she actually walked in to have a lipo on her legs and walked out with a huge ass. I'm too scared to go through fixing my legs BBL, so I'll embrace my body the way it is.
She'll be on fucking
OnlyFans next week.
Yeah. I'll be like, get off your fat ass, bitch, and fix me a sandwich.
The mother of four admitted that she wasn't in the best mental state at the time of wanting the procedure because 4.5 months postpartum, and she said she wasn't even thinking clearly about the whole thing. She also blames the doctor, claiming he allegedly said there was no hygiene in his office. Supposedly so much blood on the recovery area, no one cleaned it up. She also made the shocking accusation that Dr. Lanzer would store people's fat in fridges and put it on other patients. While the class action lawsuit appears to be ongoing, the celebrity cosmetic surgeon surrendered his medical registration to the national regulator on December 2nd, 2021, and immediately retired, according to the Sydney Morning Herald, which investigated the scandalous medical practitioner. Her ass doesn't look that big.
Let me see.
That looks all right.
Yeah.
I mean, from that angle, sure. I mean, she doesn't look bad.
I mean,
now, if she has an issue with it, part of her idea was also, is she's saying,
Hold on.
I had postpartum depression, so she made it act like, well, he should have known the signs of postpartum and said, maybe you don't need it, or something. I don't know.
Anyway,
it just sounds ridiculous.
DeJong has not complained of any health complications from her procedures, but has struggled with the physical and mental scars. After a while, you learn to ignore the names people call you and just trust who you are, she encouraged her followers and others struggling to recover from botched surgeries. I don't know.
Shoot, I'd slap that ass.
Yeah, what I'm saying. So modular, it's like, it does make your legs look smaller by comparison.
Yeah. That might be weird.
She could be like Adele. This girl is 11 pounds lighter without makeup. No, you are not nearly as good looking as Shrek before or after. Her complaining should not fool anyone. She wants the attention. Look at it. Look at my butt. Accept it before it destroys you. It's crazy. Okay, New York Post. Why we're all fantasizing about having sex with someone else? Every Monday night, I get up to some absolute debauchery. I race home from work, have a hot shower, put on my silk nightie, pour myself a glass of wine, and grab my phone. Full disclosure, I host a weekly Tell Me a Saucy Secret questionnaire on my Instagram. People write in with their most scandalous sexy secrets, and I repost them anonymously with a saucy pic that represents the secret. It's my favorite time of the week, and I've really made an event out of it. Seriously, I even light a candle and make sure the mood lighting is just right. Having posted these cheeky morsels of indecency for a couple months now, I'm finding that every week people get braver and the secrets are getting pretty wild. I like to think I'm the non-judgmental fairy godmother people turn to when they want to get that deep secret off their chest. Plus, anonymity is always guaranteed. As a gatekeeper of these secrets, I can't help but notice themes. The first one is that cheaters are everywhere. Seriously, that sweet kindergarten teacher who wears floral is cheating. If I'm honest, it's making us all a little paranoid. Second one is that men love confessing that they gratify themselves to my pictures. Okay, those ones I do judge. Choof off, creeps. And the third one is that lots of people fantasize about someone else when having sex with their current partner. At first, I thought it was just some poor sucker who wasn't quite over their ex, but then more and more started confessing the same thing. Wow.
Well, but then again, I think they got a lot of nerves saying, how dare you tell me you masturbate to me or something. She knows why she's putting the pictures out. She knows what happened to him.
Yeah.
Of course, at the same time, she already knows what's happened to him, guys. Stop telling her. She already knows. And if not, she's assuming it anyway.
Okay, so I was a little horrified, but then I remembered that I, too, once had a huge crush on my former partner's best friend. I hang my head in shame as I admit I would often flirt outrageously with him, and when it came to getting it on with my guy, I would often let my mind wander to his bestie, mostly to his biceps and his Romanesque face and his warm voice. Good Lord, my mind is wandering again. Oh, focus, Jana. Turns out it's actually super common, with a recent Love Honey survey finding that almost 2 in 5, 38% of those surveyed have fantasized about having sex with someone other than their partner. Naughty. It begs the question, are we wasting our best sex years on the wrong person? Seriously, what if we took a chance to shoot our shot with the person we actually want to have sex with? For one second, put aside the scandal that this idea would obviously bring with it, and think about all the lovely sex you could be having. I look back on the past relationship and think, bugger, the ex is long gone, and I still wonder what his bestie is up to. No doubt he has 3 kids, a wife, and some form of labradoodle by now, but I imagine if I had been brave and gone after the bloke I truly was attracted to, that could be me with the labradoodle.
British, eh?
Attraction is a funny old beast, and it can certainly disrupt life plans, as can be witnessed during my weekly confessional. But are we all spending far too much time in fantasy land and not enough time making these things happen in real life? I suppose the real question you have to ask yourself is, am I using this fantasy as a simple method for harmless enjoyment? I mean, we all have eyes and a throbbing libido. Or am I actually using it to escape my current boring love life? If you have a crush and just want to play make-believe for a little while, then heck, let your mind wander. But if you haven't been happy in your relationship for a while and you almost need to let your mind wander in order to climax, then perhaps it's time to step back and have a proper look at the current state of your relationship. I'm not saying it's a sign you should dump your partner, but perhaps you need to communicate your wants and needs better. Open your eyes when you're being intimate. Take in your partner's attractive qualities. Focus on what attracted you to them in the first place. Offer out some suggestions like it feels good when you... If that doesn't do the trick, then I think it's time to reassess your current feelings. Hey, it can't hurt to check in with the old heart from time to time. Anyway, let this cheeky confession be a reminder that it's important to put the effort in when it comes to bedroom antics and stay in the moment. We don't want a fantasy guest joining us in the bedroom uninvited. That's just bad manners. Now, we got another one that was actually linked right in this article. And it's important! Because it's hitting on us, guys. It's literally... Jana Hawking reveals the kind of man that she thinks every woman must avoid. Hurt little boys. Yesterday, I dedicated 2 hours of my life to a new reality TV show that highlights something I have known for a long time. There are F-boys everywhere. And they are ridiculously good at passing as good guys during the initial chase. In fact, you need a degree in psychology to even attempt to spot them at the start. They're charming, smart, good-looking, and full of confidence. I mean, they sound like a catch, right? The problem is underneath all that, they're hurt little boys with targeted anger towards women that is constantly brimming just under the surface. The show is called F-Boy Island Australia on Binge, and aside from being ridiculously entertaining, it also is a fascinating look at these boys in the wild. The best example is through the eyes of the villain of the show, Caleb, who is the king cock of the bunch. One particular scene shows contestant Molly opening up to him about her fiancé cheating on her with other women. He comforts her and tells her he is sorry that happened, but jump forward to the next scene and he's telling one of the other dudes that the reason she must have cheated on because she didn't have good pussy.
The truth hurts.
Further explaining that apparently men don't cheat if their woman has good pussy. But wait, there's more. He then had a checklist on what makes good pussy. Apparently it comes down to the girl's pH levels.
Yep.
I kid you not, and how well they treat their men. Well, shit. Maybe he's onto something there.
There's a science behind it.
What's that sound? Oh, it's a million women sighing in despair at the level of douchebaggery. Might be douchebaggery, but it might be true.
I mean, it's all good and fun when they do it. Like, oh, I don't like that dick or whatever women talk about. But yeah, but I guess there's more emotional maybe. But anyway, yeah, as soon as a man comments, oh, yeah. Well, he's a dick.
Yeah.
He don't know shit.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. Okay. I'm reading further in this article. Now I'd like to say I've experienced one guy like this in my dating life, but oh no, they're everywhere. And I place most of the blame on a toxic book written by a professional pickup artist who Mystery. I have listened to very, very, very many... I've listened to every single fucking interview he's had with Chris Ryan. Neil Strauss. It's called The Game. Look at this. It took them that long! PUA's been out for how long?
And they just
They just now got on to it. Wow!
Oh, that's crazy.
It's called The Game, and back in the early 2000s... Okay, so at least they know that much. It taught men some really creepy ways to seduce women. It involved treating us hot and cold in the hope that we would become confused and try to win the guy's affection. One minute telling us we're beautiful, and then the next suddenly throwing a negative comment our way, like, oh, I never noticed your teeth were crooked. It's such a gross book, but so many men read it. Seriously, it was a bestseller, and used the techniques on dates. I remember one guy telling me my job was cute, and my squinty eyes were adorable. A highly popular trick from The Game.
Yeah.
I had another guy rock up to a date, roughly 40 pounds heavier than his dating app pic, and swearing profusely during the date. That didn't stop him from hitting me with negative comments on my appearance, my voice, my career choice, and my general outlook on life. What it all comes down to is these men are broken and deeply insecure. Are they?
Well, what are you wanting out of it? You know, that's...
What are you wanting out of
it? They know what they want. They want to.
You went for him
with a good personality.
The guy that you liked, you didn't want. Remember, there's so many. How many men do they fucking swipe left on? 90%.
Oh yeah, I've seen a girl that did it. Oh, and you know, pots, kettles, and colors. Anything they can blame on us,
yeah,
we can blame right back on them because they. If anything, they've been doing it longer than we have.
Oh, listen to this. What it all comes down to is these men are broken and deeply insecure. I mean, the first thing I think of when I see Andrew Tate is, oh, Lord, who hurt you? Of course she's got to mention Tate. You see, there are two options a man is faced with when he gets dumped. He can choose to reflect on the part he played in the demise of the relationship and choose acceptance, or he can just get really, really angry. And what we're seeing on the show are men who choose the second option. Something has happened in their formative years that's made them hate women. Oh, they hate women! Oh, they all hate women! Oh, God. This fucking bitch. And they choose to take it out on any future female who comes within their perimeter. Take, for example, last night when I had a guy slide into my Instagram DMs and tell me I'm a cheap whore because I dare to write about the joys of sex. My first reaction was one of anger, but realistically, that message isn't solely about me. Heck, I don't even know the dude, but what I do know is that he's deeply threatened by a female sharing her sexual adventures. He was triggered enough to hunt me down on Instagram and shoot a venomous message my way. Why? Because he's angry at the world and I seemed like an easy target.
A venomous...
Good Lord, there's even a creepy YouTuber in America who's dedicated far too much time to dissecting my articles on his channel to his 500,000 viewers, or 500,000 followers, giving the videos headlines such as Jenna Hawking shocked that she's hit a wall. I wonder which one this is. That particular one was viewed up by over 400,000 people. Bonkers. Dig a little deeper and you'll discover that the guy who runs the channel is a short, bald... Oh, I know who he's talking about! Hey, shoutouts to Better Bachelor! Man, the Better Bachelor had to have covered this. There's no way. You got a shout out. He's laughing. Bald man who lives in his parents' basement. No, he's not. He's got his own fucking place and he's a motorcycle rider. He is a short, bald man, yes. But he used to be an athlete. He used to do, you know, marathons and all kinds of things like that. But he said he got a little older and, you know, things changed a little bit for him. Now, I'm no therapist, but I'm guessing he got turned down for one too many dates and decided to dedicate his life to a YouTube channel that spews hatred towards women. These guys are everywhere. So hold your heads high, ladies, because while there are some brilliant men out there, you've just got to weed them out from the very, very angry little boys passing off as men these days. And to the men out there who are pondering if they have certain F-boy qualities, may I introduce you to a fabulous remedy called therapy. That's what they always say. You need therapy.
Yeah, you need...
Embrace it, dear gents.
Where we say how wrong you are and what you can do to
us. Your future selves will thank you for it.
Yeah. So many women are broken. They have no place to...
These guys. fucking doing great. The comments. If you're taking advice from someone like this, you're probably too far gone anyway. Yeah. Just have the boxed wine and cat food on auto ship every month. Maybe your behavior isn't so great yourself if you have that many people calling you out on it. Amazing how women like her refuse to do any self-reflecting on their own. Actions, casual sex, have consequences regardless of how much you try to trick yourself into thinking they don't. Don't wonder why men only see you as a sex object if you make so much of your identity about sex.
Yeah.
I must ask anyone that watches reality TV, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Exactly. I think focusing on men's general meanness gaslights everyone to ignore how women treat men. Not very good or respectful and usually on attack default mode. Women used to be regarded as special. Now most are a dime dozen run through by loads of men. Oh. Things they want for themselves, independence, freedom, career first, they tend to suppress these options in a man who commits. Men recognize and accept the reality and just move on. Next!
Yep. Uniqueness is what's going out of style, or, you know, nobody can find anymore. It's not looks or anything like that. Yeah, there's whores and half-naked women are a dime a dozen.
The guy was saying, it's true, F-boys are everywhere. Let's encourage manliness, people. And the guy says back to him, takes two to tango. That wouldn't happen if girls didn't spread their legs for a guy they hardly know.
Oh, yeah.
You don't value something you didn't have to work for. And Jose Jimenez, this is good. This is a Thomas Paine quote. Remember it. What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Thomas Paine.
Exactly.
There we go.
Well, you can, and you can even see that in kids. Like,
yeah,
a kid wanted a phone tonight where I was at. When he found out didn't have the phone he wanted, he just wanted a phone. He didn't give a shit what it was as long as it was in his budget.
Right.
So I was like, don't even give a shit about it. Why do you want it?
You know. It's basically saying, and one guy's like, tall men out there, don't criticize a woman's looks to gain points. The good and pretty women will run fast and far. Guy says, cool, don't criticize our height, wallet, social status, etc. Fair.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, she wants to do all the complaining and nitpicking and name-calling, and she wants to direct it towards the entire gender. I mean, if she don't want the same thing done to her, don't do it to everybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, a good personality goes a long way with me. I have certain things I find attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a variety of things that I find attractive, too. So it's not just a certain look. Maybe that makes it harder to find, but I don't think it should.
I got one. Sorry, killing mosquitoes too, guys. Okay, so Jana Hawking shut her up. 19, this is interesting, a small story. OregonLive.com, if it even loads this one. If it doesn't, I'll just, you know, go to something else, but it's not really that big of a deal. Basically, 1984 has been returned to the Oregon Library 65 years after it was due. A first edition of the George Orwell classic was checked out in 1958. The guy forgot to return it, and he decided to return it 65 years later.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, now, here's the big article. Remember those sex championships? The porn stars have all walked out of the European sex championships, declaring it chaos that has turned into a horror film. Furious adult film stars have walked out of the European Sex Championships, declaring the event chaos that's turned into a horror film. The inaugural tournament was set to begin on June 8th, with a reported 20 representatives from a dozen or so nations, descending on an undisclosed location in Gothenburg, Sweden, to take part in the seedy tournament. However, according to a report, the six-week event to determine the continent's most elite sex performers was plagued with issues from the start. The situation has gotten out of control. It's chaos. More than that, it's turned into a horror film, said Selva Lepidera, Spain's representative, according to Marca.com. Despite initial reports that Scandinavian authorities had recognized the event as an official sport, they have since clarified this isn't the case and that an application by the event's organizer to do so was rejected. But that did not deter Dragon Brodick, who owns a number of strip clubs in the Jönköping area of Sweden, and who is understood to have set up the event to be live streamed over the internet to paying viewers. So there were 16 categories. Let's look at them all. Seduction, how attractive they are. 2, non-erotic massage. 3, erotic massage. 4, foreplay. 5, oral sex. 6, penetrative sex. 7, sexual stamina. 8, genital appearance. 9, artistic posing solo. 10, creative posing solo. 11, number of orgasms in a bout. 12, artistic posing pair. 13, ability to raise blood pressure. 14, Kama Sutra. 15, artistic intercourse. Holy shit, you know what artistic intercourse is? That's legit the sex Olympics from How to Live a Healthy Hentai Lifestyle, where they were trying to do these really weird, they turned sex into a sport, like in a fucking Olympic event. Yeah. And it was basically judged on the weird positions and the crazy shit, like doing cartwheels and gymnastics during sex. It was gymnastics. It was really fucking crazy. But anyway, back to the main article here. I was just looking at that. It said, however, according to a report, the 6 week, okay, we did talk about that. All right, let's see what we got here, because there's a bunch of pictures. However, it was reported last week that Britain's representative, OnlyFans model, Barbie Sins, has pulled out of the event, citing health complications. The remaining 19 competitors hail from across the continent, including Spain, Italy, France, Ukraine, Russia, Finland, and Croatia. Participants in the championship are going to be assessed across 16 categories in bouts to be held over 6 weeks. And bouts were reportedly set to last between 45 minutes to an hour for each category. According to the Daily Star, female entrants were set to earn themselves £690 for each day they stayed in the venue, while men would earn £345 a day. Okay. The publication said that the winner was promised €860,000. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
However, it emerged this week that the contestants left the house over claims that Braddock had failed them to pay. Oh, it failed to pay them. Had failed to pay them so far for their participation. Laura Lee was another Brit who the star said was set to fly out to Sweden on Monday, possibly as a replacement for Barbie Sins, but she pulled out at the last minute. I learned that people had been leaving over claims they weren't getting paid, so I decided to swerve it, she told the newspaper. It's sad because it was a great idea, but it sounds like it's been so badly organized and it's ended up a bit of shambles. Ukraine's entrant Talia Mint posted a video from the house before she left, saying that she and the other performers had been excited to be a part of the project. However, the 24-year-old uploaded a video to her social media which appeared to show Braddock trying to grab her phone as she left the house. She claimed in the clip that one competitor had been allowed to enter the competition without being tested for HIV. He refuses to pay me for my time and my work, and now you have all the information about this project. I want compensation, she said. She later said in a video that the police were called but could not enter the property as they did not have a warrant. Now Mink claims she is taking legal action against Braddock and the Swedish Sex Federation. It is believed that the organizers' financial issues came about because not enough people were paying to watch the live streams of the event. Other performers have also confirmed they have left the event, with the official representative group for sex workers and the Balkan region announcing the decision on Twitter Friday, citing insurmountable issues. The cameras were non-operational during the first 2 days of the competition, which hindered the proper execution and documentation of the event, said Dalba Drobza, Good Friendship, on Twitter. We were constantly faced with overloading issues, making it challenging for us to perform effectively. The absence of representatives from the Swedish Sex Federation at the event greatly disappointed us. Did you get the bag of...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. If you're ready to go, you can...
I gotta ease out. Yeah, all right, because I still got
another 30 minutes. But go ahead. All right, so DP's got shit he's got to do. I'm going to continue the show on and... Just give us a slight... Yeah, shut the door.
Oh, yeah, I am.
All right. Well, I'll see you later, man. Okay. So, we were constantly faced with overloading issues, making it challenging for us to perform effectively. The absence of representatives from the Swedish Sex Federation at the event greatly disappointed us. Also, there was no security personnel present responsible for ensuring our safety and health. The group said there was no running hot water, which impeded basic hygiene, and that the sleeping quarters were unsuitable as they did not allow for rest due to the early dawn in Sweden and the lack of blinds or roller shutters. The group also hit back at claims from the organizers that the contestants acted unprofessionally, accusing them of drinking. Alcohol was provided by the Swedish Sex Federation, and we have written correspondence confirming that there was a so-called party night included in the competition program, they said. In a statement published by the Daily Star, the Swedish Sex Federation admitted that the situation was not good and hit out at the contestants. They all enjoyed all those popularity and took advantage of our organization to promote themselves, and now they ask for something that is not possible to fulfill. We are really devastated with the current situation, and we do not have any idea how this will end, the statement said. Organizer Brodick told the publication that the performers were not invited as porn actors, but as contestants in the first European Sex Championship, and accused them of not acting like professional athletes. They ignored the rules of the competition and the Swedish Sex Federation and behaved unprofessionally and to the detriment of the federation, he said. They even brought alcohol to the house, and they did not act like sportsmen at all. All contestants are therefore disqualified from the competition. He bemoaned to the Star that none brought flags of their countries except for Croatia, and that his organization had to purchase them. Mail Online has reached out to the Swedish Sex Federation for comment, but has yet to receive a response as of 3 p.m. June 16th. We have more. This is an evolving story. Google has ditched the domain, the web domain business, moments after unleashing zip websites on unsuspecting grandmothers, PC Gamer reports. So, Google has form when it comes to giving up on almost anything that isn't its core search business. So add web domains to the list of failed experiments. Google Domains is toast. It will be wound down and its assets, including the hosting of some 10 million domain name, is being sold to none other than Squarespace. Incidentally, if you're interested in a full list of technologies and products Google has nixed, rock on over to the Google Graveyard at killedbygoogle.com. Anyway, the odd bit here is that it was just 4 weeks ago that Google Domains rolled 8 new TLD or top-level domains, including .dad, .phd, .professor, .prof, .esc, .foo, .move, and .nexus, also .zip, which is a really fucking bad idea, to join old favorites like .com and .org. Oh yeah, and they're talking about that. Of all the new TLDs, it was .zip that caused the most controversy, enabling, as it does, some fairly obvious opportunities for bad actors to hoodwink the unwitting into clicking on the various links. It could be all too easy to make a link look like a legitimate zip file download while actually linking to something nasty, threatening to catch out the least internet savvy among us. Though, as Jacob's article explains, expert opinion is split on just how dangerous the .zip TLD may prove to be. Silly. By most measures, rolling out a major new initiative within weeks of giving up on the entire enterprise seems pretty odd. But this is Google, a huge and sprawling mega conglomerate of technology subsidiaries, which often gives the impression of heading off in about 8 different contradictory directions at the same time. Of course, it's also pretty normal for a large outfit like Google to roll the dice on numerous experimental technologies at the same time. Okay, yep, that's how it was written. It's ye old throw a load of different stuff at the wall and hope some of it sticks approach. What's more, the Google domain service reportedly remained in beta for fully 7 years. Wow, it was only upgraded to full product status, general availability, or GA in Google parlance in March last year, and now Google is giving up on the whole enterprise entirely. It's unclear what impact all of this will have on those aforementioned new TLDs, including .zip, and whether they will survive the transition. But it probably wouldn't be the end of the world if .zip went .gone. I think it should go. Fucking zip files. Holy shit, that freaks so many people out. My god. Don't do that. Do not do zip and .rar. No, that's a really fucking bad idea. Interesting article here. So, Michael Cera says he nearly married Aubrey Plaza just to divorce her. Michael Cera has recalled the spontaneous moment he very, very nearly married Aubrey Plaza. The exes, who met on the set of their 2010 film, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, struck up a relationship during the making of the film. And Sarah revealed that the pair almost made their romance legally binding during a Las Vegas trip. Well, we were driving through Vegas, and we almost just spontaneously took a detour and got married, the 35-year-old told Rolling Stone. When asked if the pair had planned on an Elvis Chapel situation, a phrase used to refer to a quick and cheap wedding with an Elvis Presley impersonator officiating, Sarah said yes. Like something where you get a certificate, he clarified. I think the idea was to then get a divorce right away so we could call each other my ex-husband and ex-wife at like 20. Even though their ill-fated romance ultimately crumbled, Sarah still praises his ex-girlfriend's recent on-screen success. Plaza has been adding some impressive projects to her resume since starring in Scott Pilgrim, including Parks and Rec, and more recently, HBO's The White Lotus. I mean, she's always been committed to everything she does, he told the outlet of Plaza. It's not surprising to me that she's doing really well. The thing that's surprising to me now is how much she's producing and putting together projects. It's amazing. Ingrid Goes West, that was so great, the Superbad actor added. For her part, Plaza spoke of her relationship with Sarah back in 2016, saying the pair love each other. We're still really good friends, she said. He's just a weird little freak and we speak the same language. He's one of the funniest people I know. Plaza went on to secretly marry writer and director Jeff Baena in 2021. Yeah, he's still the weird little guy, but he's proof to these incels that I guess, you know, you just gotta work hard, you know. Like, Michael Cera was always in those weird, geeky roles. And prior to, like, incel terminology, I guess, that was, like, what we would call the incel. Like, the geeky, nerdy guy. Like, I don't know. But he's married, he's got a kid, and there you go. Plaza and Baena's relationship began in 2011. They've worked on multiple projects together, including Life After Beth in 2014 and The Little Hours in 2017. Meanwhile, Sarah tied the knot with wife Nadine Sarah in 2017, and they welcomed their first child in early 2022. Let's see what she looks like. Probably beautiful. Yeah, she's all right looking. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with her. Yep. I mean, they're okay. He's 33, and let's see. I don't know how old she is. It doesn't really say. Okay, well, not really seeing anything. Well, she likes him because he's funny. So, you know, they say, be funny. I agree. A lot of can't get a woman. Be funny. Have something witty to say. Like, that always works for me. It always worked for me, you know, because I had things to talk about. If you don't have things to talk about and, you know, you don't have anything interesting, nobody's going to fucking want to talk to you. Okay, so, eye contact avoidance and autism may stem from abnormal sensitivity of brain's threat processing system, a study suggests. This is a huge study off SciPost. Basically, we're not going to read this whole fucking thing, because holy moly, this thing is, wow, pretty huge. But if you want to check out the article on SciPost, it's again, eye contact avoidance and autism. Which is all you'd have to do, like, if you wanted to just Google search it, may stem from abnormal sensitivity of brain's threat processing system, study suggests. A new neuroimaging study provides evidence of increased amygdala, we'll get that right, come on, you know that part of the brain, idiot, and face cortical network activation in individuals with autism spectrum disorder, AESD, in response to face-like or pareidolic stimuli. These findings support the hypothesis of overly connected subcortical face processing network in ASD, potentially resulting from an early imbalance between excitatory? Is that excitatory? I mean, they're talking about like systems that have to deal with excitement, because it's excitatory. Excitatory and inhibitory systems. This study was recently published in Cortex. Autism is a neurodevelopmental condition characterized by atypical development of social communication, restricted and repetitive behaviors and interests, and sensory. They could use sensory, but they're saying sensory alterations. Individuals with autism may have difficulties with social interaction, communication, and exhibit repetitive patterns of behavior. Autism is considered a spectrum disorder, meaning that it varies widely in its presentation and severity among individuals. The researchers were interested in studying the neural mechanisms underlying face perception in individuals with autism because there's evidence of an oversensitivity of the subcortical system, particularly of the amygdala, during face processing in autism. Previous research has shown increased amygdala activation in response to facial expressions of fear in autistic individuals compared to non-autistic controls. That could be why, It's weird, because I know people by face and not by name. But yeah, I don't really look at faces that much. It's hard. Like, it's something you have to work on when you are autistic, like me. But there's some people I just look dead in the face. It's weird. It's like, if people you don't know, you won't really look at them. But people you do know, you will. It's weird as fuck. It's like your brain's like, that's not a threat, dude. You can look at that person. The researchers propose that this overarousal of the face stimuli in autism is a result of overconnection between the amygdala and the rest of the face processing system, which may be caused by an early imbalance of excitatory and inhibitory systems in the brain. I'm not a scientist. Again, if this interests you, please check out the full post. I think it's pretty fucking fascinating, though. Did you know that Windows had a secret emergency restart? I never used it, but it's there. Did you know Microsoft hid an emergency restart in 10 and 11? Here's where to find it. Is nothing working on your Windows 10 or 11 computer? Are you a Windows user? Then if so, you can raise your hand, right? Is an application hanging or is your PC unresponsive? Most people will reach for the hallowed Control-Alt-Delete keyboard shortcut. I've done it a million times. Which has been used since the earliest days of DOS to revive a stuck computer. You can also use the shortcut to call up the task manager. Control-Shift-Escape is faster at that. What many people probably aren't aware of, however, is the emergency restart function Microsoft hid inside Control-Alt-Delete screen. Wow. I personally didn't know about it either until I read this article from Beta News. To get the hidden emergency restart function, press Control-Alt-Delete on your keyboard. The usual lock, switch, user, sign off, and task manager options will appear in a full screen. You don't want any of those. Instead, at the bottom right, next to buttons for network settings and accessibility functions, there's a power button for switching off or restarting the computer. You can use this button to access the hidden function. Hold down the Control key and click on the power button. Now the following note is displayed by Windows in full screen mode. Click OK to immediately restart. Any unsaved data will be lost. It then ends with this dramatic sounding message. Use this only as a last resort. Click on the OK button and the expected happens. The computer restarts immediately without any further prompting. Apparently Microsoft integrated this method into Windows as an additional way of subjecting the computer to a warm start. Depending on the reason why Windows is having problems at the moment, the other options for Windows warm start might not work. Before resorting to the last resort of a cold start, holding down the physical on-off button on your PC or briefly disconnecting the device from the power supply, the hidden emergency restart could offer a way out. There's many ways to shut down Windows. I've not yet been able to discover where Microsoft documented this feature, but it's nice to have another reboot option within the hidden Windows emergency restart. Here's a bunch of other ways. Start button power. Control-Alt-Delete. On the Windows desktop, press the combination Alt-F4, then select Reboot. Open the command prompt with admin rights, type -shutdown -r -t00, press Enter. Go to the Windows PowerShell, type restart-computer, and press Enter. Method 6, the hidden emergency restart option. Well, there you go. Interesting, right? Kinda. Never know what we're going to cover. A sense of betrayal. Liberal dismay as Muslim-led U.S. U.S. city bans pride flags. Many liberals celebrated when Hamtramck. Wow, what a fucking town name. Hamtramck. Dude, it's literally Hamtramck. Hamtramck, Michigan, elected a Muslim-majority council in 2015, but a vote to exclude LGBTQ flags from city property as source relations. In 2015, many liberal residents in whatever the fuck that name of that town is, Michigan, celebrated as their city attracted international attention for becoming the first in the United States to elect a Muslim-majority city council. They viewed the power shift in diversity as symbolic but meaningful rebuke of the Islamophobic rhetoric that was a central theme of the then-Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's campaign. This week, many of those same residents watched in dismay as a now fully Muslim and socially conservative city council passed legislation banning pride flags from being flown on city property that had, like many others being flown around the country, been intended to celebrate the LGBTQ community. Muslim residents packing City Hall erupted in cheers after the council's unanimous vote And on Ham Tramp's social media pledges, the taunting has been relentless. Fagless City, a red one post, emphasized with emojis of a bicep flexing. In a tense monologue before the vote, Councilmember Muhammad Hassan shouted his justification at LGBTQ supporters. I'm working for the people with the majority of the people like. Wow. While Hamtramck is still viewed as a bastion of multiculturalism, the difficulties of local governance and living among neighbors with different cultural values quickly set in following the 2015 election. Some leaders and residents are now bitter political enemies engaged in a series of often vicious battles over the city's direction, and the pride flag controversy represents a crescendo in tension. There's a sense of betrayal, said the former Hamtramck mayor, Karen Majewski, who is Polish-American. We supported you when you were threatened, and now our rights are threatened, and you're the one doing the threatening. For about a century, Polish and Ukrainian Catholics dominated politics in Hamtramck, whatever, a city of 28,000 surrounded by Detroit. By 2013, largely Muslim, Bangladeshi, and Yemeni immigrants supplanted the white Eastern Europeans, though the city remains home to significant populations of those groups, as well as African Americans, whites, and Bosnian Albanian Americans. According to the 2020 census, some of 38% of their residents are of Yemeni descent, and 24% of Asian descent, largely Bangladeshi. After several years of diversity on the council, some see irony in all-male Muslim elected government that does not reflect the city's makeup. LOL! We want to be diverse! And all these Muslims, oh wow, it's like Sharia law almost! What did you expect? I'm laughing! The resolution, which also prohibits the display of flags with ethnic, racist, and political views, comes at a time when LGBTQ rights are under assault worldwide, and other U.S. cities have passed similar bans, with the vast majority driven by often white, politically conservative Americans. While the situation in Hamtramck largely evolved in its own dynamics, some outside right-wing agitators connected to national Republican groups have been pushing for the ban on Hamtramck's social media pages and voiced support for it at Tuesday's meeting. They are from nearby Dearborn, where they were part of an effort last year to ban books with LGBTQ themes. Their talking points mirror those made elsewhere. Some Hamtramck Muslims say they simply want to protect children and gay people should keep it at home. But the sentiment is an erasure of queer community and attempt to shove queer people back in the closet, said Gracie Caddy, a queer resident who is part of the anti-transphobic action group. Mayor Amir Ghalib, 43, was elected in 2021 with 67% of the vote to become the nation's first Yemeni American mayor, told The Guardian on Thursday he tries to govern fairly for everyone, but it said LGBTQ supporters had stoked tension by forcing their agendas on others. There's an overreaction to the situation, and some people are not willing to accept the fact that they lost, he said, referring to Majewski and the recent elections that resulted in full control of the council by Muslim politicians. Though the city's Muslims are not a monolith, and some privately told The Guardian they were frustrated with the council, the only leader to publicly question it was the former city council member Amanda Jakowski, a Polish-American who converted to Islam. This is really fucking long, by the way, guys. So yeah, basically you guys get the idea. It's like, the fuck did they think? Exactly. Drex of, formerly the Midtown Podcast, says, the fuck did they think was gonna happen? You elect all these, you know, the Muslim government, pretty much. Oh, wow, they don't like gays? Wow, you think? Okay, so, I don't know if this is any of you, but, United Airlines business class passenger is slammed. I promise it's not me. Slammed for watching hardcore porn during a long-haul flight. Woman who complained says flight attendant told him to stop, but he began watching the X-rated flick again moments later. A United Airlines business class passenger has been criticized for watching hardcore porn throughout a long-haul flight. Wow. A fellow passenger going by the social media handle WWGenD called the man out on Twitter and asked United Airlines, are there no consequences for watching porn on your planes? The woman said the unnamed passenger watched porn on and off for most of the flight despite being asked not to by a flight attendant. The flight attendant did tell him, you can't watch that. After I complained and showed him these pics that I took from my seat, she wrote on Twitter. The youth said he temporarily stopped and was back at it, even leaving the sound on loud. What is he watching? Is he watching hentai? No? Let me see. I'm gonna look. No, he was not watching hentai. That looks like actual porn. He wasn't watching hentai, guys. I'm sorry, he wasn't watching hentai. So, yeah. It is what it is. He wasn't watching us either. No Grimm's Hentai Corner for him. Not even the Uncanny Valley, you know? I feel bad. Sir, next time you watch porn, you know, try Grimm's Uncanny Valley, you know? We're good. But, alright. Basically, the female passenger, excuse me, there were people up and about in the cabin, including minors, who could have seen what the man was doing. Now, that's true. If you're in a place with minors, you know, yeah, you really, I mean, it's your phone. You can do what you want, but you really shouldn't. The female passenger asked the airline to take further action since, as a woman, this behavior made me feel unsafe. And a comment made on the woman's post, United Airlines said, "We're truly sorry this has been your experience. This is very concerning to hear, and promise to look into this and pass this along to appropriate teams." The airline did not immediately respond to Daily Mail. United Airlines is used to some in-air drama after recently having to turn back a plane from Israel because a passenger refused to get up from the airline steward seat while waiting for the bathroom. All right, so, yeah, that's some other things, but there we go. So, Donald Triplett, first person diagnosed with autism. Well, he did die. But the first person diagnosed with autism has died at 89. The Mississippi man, known as Case 1, the first person to be diagnosed with autism, has died. He was the subject of a book titled In a Different Key, a PBS documentary film, BBC News magazine installment, and countless medical journal articles. But to employees at the Bank of Force, in a small city of about 40 miles east of Jackson, he was simply Don. Triplett died Thursday, confirmed Lisa Davis, the bank's senior vice president. He was 89. He worked for 65 years at the bank, where his father, Beeman Triplett, was a primary shareholder. Triplett, a 1958 graduate of Millsaps College, enjoyed golf and travel, was frequently flying to exotic locales. Well, I'll be damned. You know, I know what Mr. Triplett was up to. Gentlemen, we know what Mr. Triplett was up to. He was in his own world, I'll bet. But if you gave him 2 3-digit numbers, he could multiply them faster and you can get the answer on a calculator, he told the television station. Damn, kind of wish DP didn't walk out. This would have been a great article for him to make some fucking jokes on. Triplett's autism diagnosis arose from a detailed 22-page letter sent to a Johns Hopkins researcher in Baltimore containing telling observations by his parents about his aptitudes and behavior. The letter remains a primary reference document for those who study the disorder. Oliver Triplett, his nephew, told the Times-Picayune, the New Orleans Advocate, that his uncle's story offers hope to patients of children who are different. They can see Don and a community who embrace him, he said. As a whole, Forrest encouraged him and accepted him. It gives people who have children on different levels of the spectrum hope that their children can live happy and full lives. Funeral services will be at 11 in the morning Monday on the Forrest Presbyterian Church. You know, I think a lot of women embraced him. You know, he went to exotic locales where the women definitely embraced him. They gave him hand jobs. They give you hand job, foot job, blow job, wet job. Remember that? There's a video where basically you go into Thailand and they say, here are the ladies. We give you a hand job, foot job, ass job, blow job, wet job. It's like, what? And Mr. Triple was like, I'll take them all. I'm going to die soon. I might as well take them all. Like, I'm 78. I don't know how much. No, he died. He died at 89. I'm 88. I don't know how much longer I'll live. If I die here, I won't. It'll be okay. He was hoping for that heart attack and that fucking Thai hooker. Go on, baby. Give me a heart attack. I can take it. I've been around long enough counting money. I bet you he knew those women real well, too. He could count every mole on the ass. Rebel Wilson partakes in a twerking contest during a drag show as she celebrates Pride Month with pals in West Hollywood. She was all smiles Saturday. She attended a drag show at the Abbey in West Hollywood. She's lost a lot of weight. 43-year-old Australian Axis. She's not an Axis. The 43-year-old Australian actress who's been busy promoting her app Fluid was feeling playful as she joined the performers on stage to dance. The blonde Pitch Perfect star wore locks in the side part and tight spiral curls that flowed over her shoulders. She repped her brand as she rocked a white short-sleeve t-shirt with its multicolor logo printed across it. Wilson was spotted sitting in the audience before later jumping onto a platform to join in the fun. She's lost a lot of weight. She looked like she was having the time of her life. Okay, she's doing a dating app? What the fuck? Rebel Wilson's got her own dating app? The dating app founder was the one generously dropping cash onto the stage. Throughout some parts of the show, she held up heart-shaped paddles with Fluid's QR codes. After going to the popular Los Angeles haunt, Rebel took to Instagram to share moments from the event. Okay. She introduced an app that has no labels. So, if I go to Fluid and I hook up with a tranny, and I don't know it's a tranny, because sometimes they're getting really fucking good, did I get to sue? Hey, this bitch got a dick. Oh, we can't say that there. Nope. Oh, speaking of weird dating apps, there are dating apps from everything from clowns to mullets, yeah, and celiacs. Want to date an ugly schmuck? There's an app for that. The heart wants what it wants, whether it's a special someone who gets along with your friends and family or a majestic and timeless 80s mullet cut. While dating apps like Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge might remain the largest pools for wholesale bulk swiping, there's a long tail of niche options for daters who already know exactly what they're looking for. So whether you can't live without a partner who loves death metal or desperately need to marry a fellow millionaire, there's a dating app or site out there catering to your own very specific community of singles. Here are 10 of the most unusual dating services online right now. So they have singles with food allergies. A $14.95 per month subscription dating site for finding a soulmate who shares your same food allergy. Celiac and sexy? The site's description asks. Dairy free and dynamic? Nowhere else will you find so many divorced, never married, or widowed individuals whose lives are affected by food allergies, boasts the site's founder, Maddie Thomas. Huh. Thomas created SWFA to fill a need in his own allergy-changed life following a divorce, but the creator's recommendations to new members revealed a few unrelated, no less laser-specific expectations. Write complete words, Thomas advised, not IM slang. Ugly schmucks. Wow. It's hard out there for singles everywhere. But as the brains behind Ugly Schmucks note, especially if you're like a lot of us who are not that attractive, Schmucks describes itself as an elite ugly dating site. The pitch is an online community just for people who may feel unattractive or uncomfortable in their own skin, and those who love them because they value genuine personality over outer appearance. The site also says it's exclusive, but as the loving .is dating database points out, Ugly Schmucks requires no email confirmation to register and doesn't verify photos. Naturally, this has left the community wide open to fake accounts, giving its mission statement, which is already ripe for pranks. As one user put it last summer, so weird that only good-looking people are on this dating site. Mullet passions. Business in the front, party in the back. Whether you're a long mane, short top hairdo, is a nostalgic throwback, a cheeky iconic come-on, or just a hairstyle that you've had without interruption since 85, Michael Carter's Mullet Passions promises to connect you with singles who love your lustrous looks. Well, I'll be damned. There's also 260 others from the Passion Network, which includes sites for lovers of Star Trek, scuba diving, the Green Party, Wiccans, and hundreds more. Wow. Stash Passions, another follicle-based Carter specialty. Stash Passions promises to help people find partners with the facial hair of their dreams. Stash Passions even has a variety of mustache subgroups so that singles can browse to find members by their preferred type of stash, whether it be Dally, Walrus, or Pencil. Good Lord. Like Mullet Passions, the site offers 24/7 webcam chat for those who need to get live stream confirmation of what their prospective partner's upper lip is working with. Once again, of course, no sexual content, no virtual mustache rides allowed. Date My Pet. Some pet owners would swear that their animal is a great judge of people's characters, but few dating sites make that vetting process more explicit than Date My Pet. No one wants to bring someone home only to find out they're allergic to dogs or discover that their cat can't stop hissing at their new prospective partner. With a broad mandate, DateMyPets.com hopes to be not just another dating site, but a community for all pet owners who are looking for love or friendship. It will even accept members who don't have pets, so long as they remember that. When push comes to shove, every pet owner on the site has one hard rule. If you want to date me, you have to date my pet. Clown dating! Boy, there's a lot of people we could put on that site, right? Some people are afraid of clowns, but the premise behind clown dating is that some just might want to love one or maybe be excited to face their fears head on. The dating site promises to match any interested clown lover, clown wannabe, or professional working clown with a lovable red-nosed goofball that's right for them, which can be a challenge for touring performers. Is Biden on there? Truly, it's impossible to underplay the international community that clown dating has brought together. The profiles include residents from all over the world, from Madagascar to New York, from Nice along the French Riviera to Doha, Qatar. Being on the road all the time can make it hard to find someone close by, the clown dating site notes, but with members from towns and cities all over the world, hooking up has never been easier. Millionaire Match! By internet standards, wanting to date exclusively within your own elite seven-figure and above tax bracket sounds positively vanilla, but Millionaire Match's unique selling point is that it got there first. Founded by UC Berkeley graduate Jason Dew in 01, Millionaire Match was the first site to emerge with the unique premise of helping the wealthy find each other. So naturally, it rose up out of the dot-com boom in Silicon Valley. I was curious why so many of my friends and coworkers who were very successful people were still single, Dew said in a 2015 interview. When I asked them, they said they were too busy, it was hard to find people matching their criteria, and they didn't want to date gold diggers. For verification, premium users are asked to submit not only a state-issued ID, but tax returns and property info to prove that their millionaire income claims are true. Passive wealth notwithstanding, a dater must also have an annual income of at least $200,000 to qualify for a verified badge. Wow. Now here's the one I used and was absolute fucking bullshit. Metal Dating. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll, as AC/DC once sang. And it can be a lonely way up without that special someone. Metal Dating promises to fix that, with more than just dedicated profiles and messaging, but also the chance to start a blog or post shows to an events calendar to really broadcast the bands and music you love. One woman gushed on the success stories section she found her absolute soulmate on the site. Fast forward a bit, she wrote, we're talking marriage and buying a house together. Now, let me talk a little something. Before I was the Grimlord. No, I was still the Grimlord during all this, but I wasn't the Grimlord as you know me. I was the Grimlord in the music industry. I had one of the largest dating groups on Facebook for metalheads. Not going to say the name of the group because I've long left it, but there were, you know, a good, like, we were in like 50, 60,000 people. And, it was good. It was good. Unfortunately, there wasn't any hooking up. Nobody was hooking up. It literally became, here's my band. Look my band. Check out my band. It literally became a place for bands to post their fucking music. And it was not about dating anymore. And, you know, you'd get the thirst traps. And then there was one guy that was a part of it. And he left. And he was a metal blogger at the time. And he no longer does it. And he was in a band. And I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he jumped off the face of the earth. Literally don't know. For all I know, he could be listening to me right now. But yeah, he is gone. And there were a lot of others. They just fucking gave me the site. I became the sole owner of that whole fucking... the whole group, by the way. And people still jump on it. But unfortunately, there's nothing there anymore. It's just a bunch of grandfathered in people with nothing going on. It's kind of sad. It shows the state of dating is kind of dead. Can do better. Let's say you're not single, but looking to get back out there. What? The unsentimental Darwinian premise of can do better is that you just might want to let an anonymous jury of your peers decide whether you or your current partner is one who belongs in a higher league. Structured closely to the Web 1.0 staple, Hot or Not, The site that inspired Mark Zuckerberg's site before Facebook, remember that, Can Do Better's voting system has been delivering harsh truth to its user base since 2008. We understand that singles are searching for quality, not quantity, the CEO of Blast Applications, Inc., Dino Luzzi, said when the site was relaunched in 2010. Can Do Better increases the odds of finding a suitable dating partner. Wow, that's fucking crazy. Gonna look at the comments here for sure. Let's see what they've got to say about all this degeneracy. Let's see. I know a bloke and he's 5 foot nothing. Small frame and far from the Brad Pitt looks, but he gets more puss than 20 local vets. How does he do this, you ask? He inherited many millions of dollars! Yep, and that's how you do it, folks. Mm-mm. Let's see. Let's see here. Millionaire match. Meet someone whose sole ambition in life is to be on a private jet with a glass of champagne, Instagramming a photo of it. Joe Biden. Will they let presidents join? Oh my God, that's crazy. Yeah, let Joe Biden on the clown app. Oh, man. What a fucking world we live in, folks. Absolute crazy world. So, there's so many more articles that we have to talk about, including updates on the Sex Championship. But we will get back to that later. And for now, this is the Grim Lord, and I am out, and I'll see you next time on the Grim Rant Show. And, well, DP's not here, so enjoy the decline, and I'll see you later.